Wrong. That's a joke. But you got to think, what's the first name the enemy's ever given in Scripture? If you go back to the book of Genesis, what's he called? A serpent. What's a python? Well, okay, let's put two and two together. Where must the spirit of Python come from? Not a good place, is it? I want to talk just a little bit about Acts 16. That's where we get, that's the only place that we really get the spirit of Python named. It's the only place in Acts where a spirit is named. Now, he gets legion over in the Gospels, but in Acts, that's the only spirit that's named. So you've got Paul and Silas. It's Acts 16, and around verse 16 somewhere. But you got Paul and Silas, and they're on their way to the place of prayer. And it's interesting to note that not long after they leave the place of prayer, of course, they go through some junk, but they're really on the onset of their very first missionary journey. So it's at the birth, the beginning of something new. The enemy always attacks it when something new happens, without fail. Because we've heard it said before, and I've said it, if it gets the baby killed, then it never grows up to be a full-grown, big, strapping man. So when something new begins to be birthed, he comes. So here comes this girl, and she's yapping. Oh, there's the sons of the Most High God, blah, blah, blah. And finally, Paul said, man, I've had enough of this demon. He's ticking me off. So he turns around, calls it out of the girl. Well, her masters get mad because they're not making money. But divination's what most versions use or call it, but it's literally a python, a spirit of Python. And we talked a little bit about how a python kills its prey. It's not because it's so venomous that the venom gets in your blood and poisons you, although that would be a great sermon, but that's not how it goes. It wraps itself, gets a hold of its prey, however it can, to slow it down enough to get up to where it can cut its breath off. See, a python could wrap itself around your leg, and you could lose your leg, but you could still breathe. When a python gets up here, it begins to wrap itself around, thank you, Kathy, begins to wrap itself around your heart and your lungs where you can't breathe. That's where the problems come in. Everybody got a heart beating here? Everybody's heart beating? Good. No need to call 911. Give me just a second. They came after Paul and Silas because they were anointed to do a work. I don't care who you are in here or where you come from. You are either already anointed or God has an anointing for you. You're not walking in it yet. Every person, every believer. The enemy shows up when the anointing shows up. He does not care if you're just out going through the motions. If you don't bother him, he's not really going to bother you. Because if you're lackadaisical, he don't care because you're not going to make a difference for the kingdom. So I tell you this, if you're never under attack, you better check your spiritual thermometer because it's probably below freezing. In other words, you have no spiritual life. There's nothing going on. You're just going through the motions. He doesn't need to attack you because he's already got you. So check your spiritual barometer on that. If you're under attack, you ought to praise Jesus all the more because you know you're going forward in what he has planned and purposed for you. Oh, that's easy to say, isn't it? Yeah. But we need to get the mindset that it's easy to do. See, we take things and say, oh, it's so hard to do. Why do we say that? You know why I believe we say it's hard to do? So we can convince ourselves and give ourselves a good reason and rationalize our way out of really praising Jesus in the good and in the bad. It's just so hard right now. I don't have money in the bank. And we fight all the time. Got a kid out here on drugs. My brother's doing this. My mom's doing that. So what are we doing to do? Lay down and quit. That's the time we stand up and praise. We don't say, it's just so hard right now. You know what I think God hears? Wah, wah. I honestly believe that's what he hears. And sometimes I think, I mean, is he a dad? All right. Sometimes my dad would tell me, suck it up. My dad would say that. You need to suck it up. And I would get mad at him. And we would argue. Sometimes God's looking at us and saying, suck it up. You got all the power, suck it up. You got my word, suck it up. You can pray to me, suck it up. I'm the God of the universe, suck it up. Let's go. But we just want to, it's so hard. And I'm just drugged down and I can't breathe and nothing's going right. And wah. Tell God. Here's what. And I get ahead of myself. Let's go on a little bit. So it comes after the anointing. If you look in Luke 4, this is a good example of that. Over in 31. Now, not just before this, Jesus had stood up and proclaimed that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me. So we know Jesus is anointed. He goes to the synagogue. He starts to preach, teach. This one guy who was demon-possessed begins to shout out at him and say, "Leave us alone. Leave us alone." In other words, we're happy. Don't come in here disrupting what we're doing. But it was a demon. How do you think that man was there every time they met the synagogue before Jesus came? You know, I believe he was. I believe he was there, as we would say, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, like clockwork, that man was there without fail. He didn't care what happened because obviously there was no anointing. But when an anointed man of God came in, it made that demon really upset. So he started to holler out, "Leave us alone, leave us alone." What'd Jesus do? "Okay, I'll go to another church where the music's a little different and the preacher preaches like I like to preach. Or I'll go over here where people won't tell me to leave him alone. Oh, woe is me." I sent Jeff a quote today that Smith Wigglesworth said. And it said, if you go to church and you're not, if you preach the gospel and you don't make people mad or glad, you're not preaching the gospel. So either people's going to be mad or people's going to be glad. The ones that get it are going to be glad. The ones that are mad, well, you know who you are. But that's a good example. So I tell you this, when you're anointed, expect attacks. The more the anointing that you have, the greater the attack. Yes, I believe some are anointed more than others, but it's not because God specially picks some. It's because some are more willing to give in to the anointing and do what he's called them to do. That's why. So when we say, "Boy, I wish I could pray like so-and-so, preach like so-and-so, blah, blah, blah." Yeah, you better watch it. But you better have a good relationship. You better be willing to give up what God wants you to give up and do what he wants you to do and be willing to put the time into the relationship. So that guy, he had to go there all the time. I believe it. But Jesus was anointed. The anointing does bring out the attack of the enemy. So how does that old thing attack? He wraps himself around you. All of a sudden, your bank account's dry. So, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay my bills? And then the next thing you know, some kind of family issue blows up. So now you got no money and your family's fighting. And somebody dies. Or some kid's out here running wild. Or your mom and dad don't care about you. Somebody's mad at you. Somebody's all the time telling lies about you. Some guy at work's trying to take your job. If you don't believe those are attacks of the enemy, then I'm here to tell you they are. And sure, God allows them. You don't think God allows us to be attacked? Go read Job. As a matter of fact, if you'll read there, God started that conversation with the devil. He said, "Where you been? What, have you looked at old Job?" Now, how many of us would like God to say, "Hey, devil, where you been? Have you looked at Kathy? Go in there and attack her, see what she does." I don't know if I want that. I'd be straight up. I don't know if I want that. But when that thing begins to wrap around us and it begins to suffocate us, and all we look at is our problems, because first of all, he wants to suffocate our prayer life. He wants to cut off our communication with God. Because when that's cut off, do we hear from him? No, because we're not talking to him. He wants us to worry about everything so we don't pray about anything. Because when we're worried about everything, we're really not taking it to him. Because what's the scripture say? "Cast all your cares on me because I care about you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication and petition and thanksgiving." Notice there's praise in there. Thanksgiving is praise. Ask him, but praise him too. So it suffocates our prayer life. Next thing you know, we don't really care about what's in the Word. We're not in it a lot. So we don't know what it says. So have you ever been in a struggle? It just seems like, I tell you, Joyce and I seem like we've been in one for 2 years now. That's a long time, we think, to go through a fight and constantly struggle with some of the same issues over and over. And so I said, it's just too hard. I can't do it. And there are times I said it. Just can't do it, God. It's just too hard. But then he sends an old eagle to screech in our valley, or a word, or it just comes from the strangest places to sort of wake us up and say, whoa, wait a minute, he really is God. Because those battles, sometimes they go on for a long time. We need to realize that these things have demons and the devil. They have power to manipulate things in this world, but they have no power to manipulate you. The only thing they can do is begin to tell you junk in your mind, and then you in yourself have to act on it. And me in myself, I've got to act on it. So don't ever say, the devil made me do it. If you're covered under the blood, the devil can't make you do anything. He can whisper lies and get you to believe a bunch of garbage, but you are the one who has to act on it. I love when we talk about spiritual warfare and it's dry as a gourd. You know you're hitting on the nail, right on the head. I love it because the enemy's working. That's how you know. If you preach on spiritual warfare and everybody's, whoa, I would step back and say, man, I am off the mark. So just like in Luke 4, if you leave them alone, they leave you alone, like I said earlier. The enemy attacks wherever the anointing and the Son of God are, the presence. He's going to come. He always attacked Israel. He always had an enemy for Israel. And God always held him at bay until Israel turned from God. Always held them at bay. Is Israel a large enough country to be able to hold people back in their own might and own power? No, they're not. But they have anointing. That's why they're able to withstand things. So as I talked about, you ever feel like there's an invisible wall in your job, in your home, in some like there's an invisible wall and you're just like, I just can't break through that wall. I just can't. What do you think it is? I happen to believe that it's a python, a spirit of python, holding you, restricting you. And we get to that point like, I just can't break through. I don't know what to do. We have spiritual power and authority that we do not use anymore. Because the American church, all you hear is, I don't want to be a demon chaser, and I don't want to talk about demons often. You know what Jesus spoke about more? He spoke about hell more than he spoke about heaven. And then he preached about the devil second most. And there's nothing wrong, because it's the gospel to preach the blood and forgiveness. But we forget that we have a real enemy. And this real enemy has picked the American church up in its arms and rocked that baby to sleep, kissed it on the head and laid down in the cradle and walked off because he's got some work to do somewhere else and he ain't got time to keep that thing asleep. But the thing is, we're not trying to wake up. We're just laying there comfortable. We got our house. We got our cars. We got everything we need, God. Well, then we are in trouble if we have everything we need. Because there is an entire country out there that needs Jesus. This country is not a country going after God. I don't care if all the surveys you see say that 78% of Christians say they're Christians. 78% of Americans say they're Christians. That's true probably too. 78% of Christians probably say they're Christians too. But just because you say you're a Christian does not mean you are a Christian, because the scripture tells me that we'll know them by their fruit, and I see lots of people that say they're believers that are in this around here, you know, close to us. You can watch them on TV and look at their life, and I don't see the fruit. Now, I'm no judge, but I can inspect fruit. I can tell a bad apple from a good apple. And you should be able to, too. And I see a lot of people in this country that are not really believers, and in this area that are not really believers. But they've gone to church for 40 years. Congratulations. We'll get you a 40-year membership pin and pat you on the back and send you through the door. It's not going to get you to heaven. Church does not get you to heaven. Building does not get you to heaven. Coming to a building will not get the victory in your life. Now, I don't believe you disconnect from the building, but I believe that we get so caught up in going to the place of worship, and that's all it ever is, then the battle's lost. Because the enemy's not going to say anything to you. All he's doing is going to church. He ain't bothering me a bit. Look at the disciples. one of them that was with Jesus constantly. He was at almost every sermon. When he talked to the thousands, he heard every sermon Jesus preached. He was a 40-year member, so to speak, of the tribe, of the church. And what did he do? He crucified the preacher. Which could lead in, I could go off on that for 40 minutes. But I'll pull back on that one, because that might be a little bit out of the spirit there. So, I digress. You feel like that wall set up around your finances, like, God, I'm paying my tithes and this and that. And this is me. I'll be straight. I'll be honest with you. This is us right now, paying my tithes and blah, blah, blah. And I put that tithe check in, and I think, I hope something comes in so that tithe check doesn't bounce. That was me Sunday. God provided. If she had deposited that Monday, we'd have been hurting. Thank you, Betty. But these walls, these things, they're set up, and it is a spiritual attack, but God allows it so we can grow. If every spiritual attack that came, if we just went up and said, in the name of Jesus, be removed, and the attack was over, we would not learn a whole lot from those attacks. Aaron, when you were in the Marine Corps, if you ever had to go into a fight, would you want to follow some guy that came out of college and got his officer stuff? And would you want to follow some guy that had been in two wars and had been in the Marine Corps 25 years? Which one are you going to follow? That's who we want to follow. We don't want to have everything easy. We're going to a battle. The people who say, oh, every time I go in a spiritual battle, I just plead the blood and speak the name of Jesus and it's over with. That is not true of every spiritual battle you're going to go into. It ain't that easy. Sure, an enemy will go to flight at that, but that doesn't mean he's going to stay gone. He's going to come back and keep assault. That is his job until the trumpet blows, expect an assault. And I don't know if you see it or not, but I see it more and more as time goes on, bigger assaults coming closer and closer together in greater numbers, in greater, seems like power, but it's not any more power. It's just where they're coming in greater numbers. So how do we get to the breakthrough? Well, then he wants us to quit breathing. You know how you breathe in? This is how you breathe in. You read this book. It's like breathing in. You know what breathing out is? That's prayer. Doesn't breath come out when you pray? So breathe in this word, breathe out in prayer. If you're not breathing the word in and breathing out in prayer, you're suffocating. And you're letting the enemy suffocate you. Dreams die. When that spirit comes, dreams die. You don't have any vigor anymore. You're not excited about anything. You don't have pep in your step. You're just going through the motions. Some of us start to get not too healthy anymore. Our health can begin to suffer. But it's because of attack. We start to lose supernatural desire. So if any of these things, if any of this hits home, you're under attack. So wake up to the attack. You begin to lose spiritual desire. You stay home and nap instead of going to church or play your video games or watch a movie or go get a beer or go find whatever drug we used to take or fire up the internet and start watching some porn again or whatever. We look at those big things, but maybe some of us just lay around and don't do anything. That's an addiction just like anything else. But we want to take these other things and put them, those things are terrible. It's all terrible if it pulls you away from God. It's every bit terrible. That slothfulness and laziness will have just as big a hold on a person as a drug will. It's just as hard to break as it is to break a drug habit if you try to do it in your own power. We begin to go back to old habits, things we used to do, sins that we used to be involved in. We begin to pull away from godly relationships to ungodly relationships. There's nothing wrong with having a friend who's not plugged in with Jesus like you are. But there is something totally wrong in beginning to gravitate toward that relationship and make that the focus of your time and the focus of your desire. So if I see somebody, I used to say pulling away from church, but I don't say that anymore. I say if I see somebody pulling away from relationships with godly people, I know what they're doing. They've been under attack, they've succumbed to the attack, and they're walking away. They've laid down their armor at the point of battle, and they're walking away. But the thing is, to get to where back in the fight. All you got to do, if I'm walking this way and my armor's that, all I got to do is go. It's not that hard. Don't believe the lies that it is. The real meat hits when we finally decide, I am tired of this thing constantly getting the victory over me. I am sick and tired of it. And so this day I will begin to plead the blood of Jesus and pray in the name of Jesus and speak the name of Jesus and call out when nobody's around and when everyone is around, scriptures. I will call them out and speak them. Life and death is in the, where? Tongue. Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God came to give life, so the Word is life, right? Plug all that together if you can. Run them six extension cords together. Speak this life out into the open. Speak it. And then you'll see fireworks and you'll feel a great surge. No, not always. Don't be fooled into thinking that just because we stand on God and His Word and go into battle that we feel a great surge of energy and we go for, ah! That ain't the way it always is. Sometimes it does happen, but it's very few and far between that happens. It's when we're plugging and trotting along, speaking the Word, we don't feel a thing. Believing when we don't feel a thing. Just trodden in that stuff and believing God and saying, God, I know I have the victory over this. I know that I can walk out of this. I know that this thing cannot suffocate me because nothing can steal my breath, my wind, your spirit from inside of me. Because you planted it there and I'm not going to let him take it. But our problem is we don't care what somebody takes for us because if we have to fight for it, it just ain't worth it. I have to fight for it. It just ain't worth it. I got to put some effort into it. We're a lazy people. There you go. There is your motivation for tonight. I'm so proud of you all. We're lazy. We are. You look at how men worked and lived 40, 50 years ago. It's very true. We're a lazy people. Some of us don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Some of us, we just want to lay around and do nothing. We want to entertain our mind constantly. When you entertain your mind constantly, God can't speak to you. Because you're not quieting your soul enough to hear him. You're putting images and things in here. Some of the TV shows we watch, I think we better check. Because we're putting some garbage in here. Garbage in, garbage out. You think, oh, that will never get any hold on me. That is a python. Beginning to circle itself around you. You say, oh, it's not going to use something like that. He has used things little for centuries. He does not use the big things to begin an attack. He is not stupid. He has had centuries to perfect how he does battle. And he knows how to do it. But the thing is, he doesn't know how to win because he can't. So he uses these little things and these small things and he wraps. And then we start saying, that's not so bad. And it gets a little tighter. And we go a little deeper. And we start saying, well, I don't really feel guilty over that. No, you don't, because your heart's beginning to get hard, because you're letting the enemy begin to use you. You're walking away from God. We're not soft. We're not sensitive to his leading, his anointing anymore. Our heart's getting hard. So don't be fooled into thinking the enemy doesn't attack. And don't be fooled into thinking you can't win. I hate that. We as believers have got to stand up and say, in our God-given authority, that we have the victory and we will win and we have won. We just don't want to. Because it requires us to fight. It requires us to do something. It does. Be still and know that I'm God does not always mean those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm waiting on you, Lord. Wait means to serve. How does a waiter wait tables? You need anything else? You need anything else? What can I do for you? What can I get you this? Can I get you? That's serving. That's how we wait upon the Lord. We serve him diligently in everything that we can. I'm not saying that works get you anywhere, but works is a part of it. So we serve him diligently. We don't just sit down, because when we sit down, we are done for. Unless somebody comes along and reaches down and jerks us up, we're done for. And thank God he has those people that come and reach out and grab us up. So tonight, I just want you to know that you can have victory. I just want you to know that I don't care what kind of battle's going on. Begin to plead the blood. Begin to speak the name of Jesus. Begin to say to yourself, I have victory. Open your word up. Find this scripture where it says, I am more than a conqueror, and speak it. Find the scripture where it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If you're having trouble with finances or something, the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. The Lord gives me strength to get wealth, not by my power, not by my might, but by his spirit. Find those things that speak to your situation, and for goodness sake, speak them. Don't just know them. When the devil attacked Jesus, he didn't just say, I know how to come back at that. Would have done him no good. He spoke it. We're afraid to speak it. That's what it is. We're afraid to speak it because we think, oh, well, maybe it's not an attack. Well, right then and there, that's our red flag. Attack. Speak it. Let him know who he is, where he's going, and where he can go right now. And it's right out the door. Thank you. See you later. Next time you come back, I might send you out this door if you get tired of using that one. But let's have a little tenacity about us. Let's have a little, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Let's begin to believe that instead of just saying, I can do all things. Because, boy, it sure sounds like we believe it when we say scripture like that. There is authority in this. When Isaiah or Peyton or Olivia are doing something, I don't go, guys, y'all don't do that. Because they listen first time when I do. I say, you three quit it right now before I come in and bust your hind end. And they listen. See, he knows. When the enemy comes, we don't say, not right now. I'm so tired. I had a long day at work. He don't care. He does not love anyone, including himself. He is the most selfish being ever created. Go to Isaiah where he talks about the I wills. So begin to fight your fight. You can do it. You can do it. You can win, but you have to know the word. Don't let that python suffocate your prayer and suffocate your reading the word. Don't let it happen. Okay? And remember, he reigns. He reigns. I'm finished. I'm like Jenny. I'm finished. Anybody have a question? Jeff will answer it. How many of you have felt like, man, I'm about to give up. I'm about to give in. God, I don't know how much more I can take. Don't know how much more, God, I can go through. I just about had it, Lord. I'm at my wit's end here. And it's time we stand up. Bust that old python off of us. And say, in the name of Jesus, I'm a child of the Most High King. And I plead his blood over my life. And I can do it for you, or you can do it for yourself. And I don't care which way we do it, but I just think we need to do it. So if you want to come on up, let's break it. It's time we break the chains the enemy puts on us. It's time we break free from the junk and the gunk he puts on us and tries to hold us down. Let's break free. He is scared to death of the people living in liberty in the Holy Spirit. It scares him to death. He knows his kingdom is going to shrink. And mostly he knows he has no power to combat us. So come on. You know, I don't count to three. If you want to be broken free and freed up, just come on. Just come on. If you want me to pray for you or Jeff or whoever, I'm sure he will.
If you're facing some battles right now, let's just stand. And I ask Dakota to blow the trumpet each blast. Let's believe that God's power will move in each situation, wherever they may be coming from. They may be coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. but that trumpet blast was to sound the alarm, to call to Bible, to awaken people to the fact that there is a war, a literal spiritual war going on. So if you're facing whatever tonight, you're facing whatever, you're facing financial situations, you're facing some sort of temptation, whatever it is you're facing tonight, whatever it is you're facing, let's receive it tonight. Believe God that God's going to give you the strength. Kathy, can you pray over this as soon as we blast that trumpet? Can you do that? Receive tonight. We can receive when we can stand there and just hear a shofar. Okay? How many knows that we're not just standing here hearing a shofar? So if you're fighting a battle, your children, you're fighting one at work, wherever it might be coming from, finances, I want you to receive tonight. Remember what the prophet of God told the servant of Dothan. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. Cause him to look out and look on the mountains, and that those that are for him are more than those that be against him. How many believe that tonight? If God is for you, y'all heard that word? All right, if God is for you, then how many believe that? Hallelujah. On this last one, I want us to give a praise to God like we believe that God is for us. And there are more for you than there are against you. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's give a mighty shout, a mighty praise unto God at the end of this last one. Then I'll ask Kathy to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord. Why? Because the Lord is setting the standard. You don't have to set it. The Bible says when you've done all, stand. When the enemy rushes in like a flood, when we've done all, we can expect God to raise the standard. And he always has, and he always will. Amen. Amen. Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for the word that we've received tonight. I thank you that word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm thankful, Father, that if I receive that word into my heart and that if I activate that word into my life, then I can expect that word to come alive, Lord, in me and in my circumstance and in my situation. I'm thankful, Lord, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And right now in Jesus' name, we break that bondage of fear off the lives of this congregation. In the name of Jesus, we speak out your word. You said you came to set the captives free. We are not free when we are under the financial bondage. In Jesus' name, we set that captives free. We pray for financial blessing and abundance into this life. We pray, Lord, for friends, for family, for funds, and for favor. We ask, God, that the favor of the Lord pouring upon this congregation. Why? So that we may in turn turn around and bless your kingdom. So that we may bless your name. And so that we may bless our neighbor. We thank you that your word is real and true. We thank you, Lord, that it is powerful. And now, Lord, as we leave this place, we leave as an army. We leave as a mighty army with the assurance that you are our captain. We leave, Lord, with the blowing of the shofar, going out, announcing the victory. We are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors. We are victorious in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we praise you, and we receive all these blessings in the wonderful, wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Over these. These are, you need to tell them, they're not ours, but if anybody wants one, Fuel Youth Ministry, and they're from Castlewood. They've been here before. They're having a fundraiser thing at Coburn tomorrow night. And if you're down in Coburn, live in that area, you'd like to help sponsor youth ministry from over at Sulphur Springs, Castlewood, they're having their fundraiser. You're welcome to pick up these. This is a this will be just like what we did, a coupon.
Surge has already had their summer trip, and they had a blast, did you not? It was totally awesome, but more than being fun, it was a spiritual surge. They came back revived, and they hit the church, and I mean, it revived us. It was wonderful. Unfortunately, the Hawks spent all the money. Now the little kids are ready for their trip, and we need some money for the little kids. So we're going to take up an offering tonight. And if you have anything to give, please bless the little kids. This is the under 10. Is it under 10? And 12. Under 12 age. And I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to come up with something maybe. And or for fall or for winter, whatever they're going to do. And they're going to need money for it. So would you go ahead and bless them? And if we can get couple of, where's the little kids? Let them come up. Trevor, come up here. Olivia, can you help him? And let's take up an offering for them as we leave tonight.
God, we know, Lord, that your heart is open, Lord, towards your children, God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us some an opportunity to bless them tonight, God, that you'll bless us for doing that, God. We ask that you'll just take this offering, God, and you'll use it for that purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.